So, well, this morning I'm going to pick up. We've been talking about religion. And, you know, I actually got to thinking about some of the tradition. You know, this past week was also the Marine Corps birthday. And, you know, Sean, I never once went to a ball. I was like, there ain't no way you're going to get me to go be around all those people. And, but they went to the Marine Corps ball, which is a very formal event for Marines. And, you know, I mean, you just got to, when we did our, well, I take it back, NCO school, I went to our ball there, but it was just us. And, you know, tradition. There's a lot of tradition in that. And the whole purpose of the tradition is to remind us of where we were, what we've done, you know. I don't know if they still teach it or not, but I know back when I was learning how to wear the uniform, just the camouflage uniform at that point, they were teaching us how to wear it. Everything had an identification. You put your belt on. You know, that's a simple thing, isn't it? Anybody in here not know how to put on your belt? Well, you'd be surprised how many people really don't know how to put on a belt because they don't pay attention to their belt loops. Do you ever see somebody that missed a belt loop and you just want to fix it for them? But it's going to be kind of awkward for you to undo their belt and pull it out and rethread it. But, you know, they start teaching us things like you have 7 belt loops for the 7 C's. It helped us remember. It was a tradition because we are sea soldiers. That is our purpose. And so, you know, each tradition meant something. Every time you did something, there was a part of a tradition that went way back. You know, one of the traditions, I wasn't always a big fan of it, was pinning on our stripes. Just because I was usually a little guy, and 99% of my unit outranked me, so I was going to get beat. And that was part of the deal. You know, but in my opinion, the tradition goes a little crazy. When I became an NCO, we had this little tradition of a blood stripe. Did you get any? Did you? I picked up a 2x4, and I said the first person gives me a blood stripe gets the 2x4. You knee them in the thigh. And then you turn around and get it again. And then every NCO above you gets it. Well, I've known guys that said they couldn't walk for a week. And I had to lead PT the next day, and there was just no way that was going to happen. And so anyhow, you know, but I remember I did say, I'll take my punches. You can pin on my stripes. Well, my gunny, who's a big man, I mean, he, big man, maybe a little shorter than Kyle, but he had shoulders like that. And I kid you not, I got a picture somewhere where he put me up against the stanchion because everybody had already punched me and he hadn't got to me. So he put me up against his metal I-beam and he punched me in the shoulder. And if you look at the picture, I'm pretty sure my shoulders touch. He hit me so hard. But I just remember how proud I was of that tradition. I pinned on my corporal stripes. And the church today has so many traditions, they don't mean a hill of beans. Well, it's tradition to do this. It's tradition to do that. Tell me what your tradition is and why you celebrate it. And the truth of the matter is we can't. We don't know where the tradition came from. I know one church that their tradition is they don't use instruments in their song services. Well, to them now, it's an evil thing. And they really should use instruments. It helps cover up those of us who cannot sing. But then we all have traditions. I was watching, it's come on twice now on TV, and I just have to sit there and watch it, Footloose. Anybody remember Kevin Bacon back in the day? Do you remember how it starts out? It's all these feet standing in there, and they're, you know, whatever. See, that's how good I dance. And I looked and I said, holy smoke, they went to a Pentecostal church and they got people dancing because they're all doing the Pentecostal jig. We think that's dancing. I've been watching Dancing with the Stars, and I'm going to tell you, that is not dancing. What David did, that was dancing. He danced so hard he lost his clothes. That's doing something. I ain't saying we should all dance to that extreme, but what is hilarious to me is here's another tradition in the church. Well, if it's got a drum beat, if it's got a beat that makes you move, it's of the devil. Anybody ever heard that? You know, there was a particular preacher in the 80s who came out. I found a new tool in the devil's toolbox. It's called Christian rock and roll. God didn't come to save music, so who cares? He came to save the people. And anyhow, so, but if we're going to stop and think about how David would have had to have been moving, he wasn't doing the Holy Ghost jig. He was moving now. Where was he getting the beat? You move to a beat. Did he have this beat in his head, or did he have a band going ahead with him that was so victorious? You know, I'm like Larry Norman. Why should the devil have all the good music? I don't like funeral marches because I'm not dead yet. I like to live. I like to move. Like I said, music moves me. Just moves me ugly. I think I look cool, but... And I haven't been in a mosh pit for a long time. I think the mild concussion I got from the last one was enough. Because I got... Yeah, we were just doing the popcorn shuffle then. So, you know, we've created traditions and we've created things that just have no purpose anymore. Well, brother, don't you need, we need a cross on the building. Well, that's fine. I don't want a cross on the building. Well, don't you want people to know the church, that it's a church? I don't care if they ever know this building's a church. You're the church. It's a building. That's all there is to it. This is where we come to get refueled, and we go out there and be the light. We go out there and we be the example. But if we're being taught to be baptized in vinegar and weaned on a dill pickle, who wants to be like that? Who wants to come in and say, well, I want to be just like you? There's no joy in our salvation anymore because we said, okay, we're away from the law. We're going to accept Jesus Christ, which we're supposed to accept grace at that point. And now, oh, wait a minute, we're going to go back under law. Women, you got to have your hair up in a bun, you know, no makeup. You got to wear your skirts down to here. And, you know, men, you know, you got to wear your hat and, you know, your pants can't have any back pockets and, you know, just, and there are divisions of the church that are like this. And we've created a whole realm that we can't live by anymore. And the truth of the matter is, God doesn't care. He doesn't care if you've got purple hair. He doesn't care if you've got any hair. If you've got a beard, you don't got a beard. He just doesn't care. And what he cares is that we're obedient. That's all that he really cares about. We want to say, well, you know, well, then that's law. Then I have to obey. Well, duh. It's called the law of love. That's the lawlessness that Jesus was talking about growing cold. Because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold in the latter days, and churches will turn against churches. And, you know, here's another thing that will help the body of Christ is if we realize this was written to us. This wasn't written to sinners, but this is the first thing we throw at people. You're a Bible thumper. You know why they called them Bible thumpers, don't you? They would take the Word of God and abuse it. And browbeat, what's the matter? Oh, I got something on my chest. No. It was not a spider, all you arachnid. You arachnophobes. You too over there. I see the pictures you post. House is in flames. Well, I got the spider. There's a couple more of you in here that are just like that. We want the Holy Ghost and fire. We just don't want that fire. Hallelujah. Oh, but anyhow. And, you know, so over time, as I've said, I've even learned that I've developed traditions. I developed things that meant nothing anymore. Why do I do this? And I've always tried to examine why I do. Well, God didn't tell me to do that. I just started doing it. And what law does is it kills relationship. You should love your spouse because you love them, not because, for many of you in here, I signed a piece of paper that said you have to love them. I signed your license. Isn't that a joke? We got to have a license. Give me a Pentecostal break. Marriage is between a man and a woman and God. But I guess we got to do what the government says, don't we? So today I'm going to pick up. I said last week I was going to jump into Galatians chapter 5. Because we started talking about how love fulfills the law. And how even the Apostle Paul had a bit of a sense of humor. And said, you know, these people run around teaching that you got to be circumcised. And Paul says, I wish they'd cut a little more off. When I read that, I don't know how many times I'd read it. And then one day I read it, I was like, Paul's trying to be funny here. But we're warned not to let our liberty be an opportunity to serve the flesh. This is what we call walking in love. Love says, I don't want to do anything that harms my neighbor. If I do something that causes somebody else to fall, then it becomes sin to me. Because that's not showing them love. Now let's go to verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. How many of you have done things you knew better? Every last one of us. I knew better than that. Why did I do that? That was stupid. There for a while, I found myself being Fred Sanford, you big dummy. I call myself a big dummy, and I stopped that. But what happens is we do things we know better. That's because our flesh wants something, and our spirit says, no, that's not good for me. You know, I've shared right here, you know, the Bible talks about drinking alcohol. Okay? We're not going to get into the legalistic, well, it's what percentage of alcohol, what was this? You know, it was talking about grape juice, not wine. It was full on wine, okay? Let's just quit being stupid. Because I even read it one day and Jesus himself spoke to me and he said, I told you I drank. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. Who cares if a man drinks water? I want you to know what the religious side of me started doing. It was almost an exorcist thing going on in my office. But I have to tell you this, what the Apostle Paul was trying to get through our brain housing group. If even though it's not illegal, if my drinking causes my brother or sister to fall, I am at fault. It is now sin to me. Looking back in my family history, both sides loaded with alcoholics. Okay? Great-great-grandfather owned the whiskey distillery. Later on down the years when it became illegal, they had their moonshine. My own grandfather was a constable of a little town in West Virginia. He was also a moonshiner. If you're going to do it, you might as well be the law too, right? I'll give him credit for being smart on that one. He never got caught. But the problem is alcoholism runs in my family. I've told my sons. I don't want them thinking, well, this is bad. See, because here's what happens. When a kid gets out on their own and you've taught them it's bad, it's evil all the time, guess what? Well, I got to find out for myself, don't I? You know, I'm sure every last one of us in here told our kids the stove is hot. I'm sure you guys, right? You got little ones yet coming up. The stove is hot now. No, don't touch it. What do they all do? Psst. Right? They grab it. Because they don't believe you. Because you've made this something, you know, ooh. And Paul was saying, just don't let it become an opportunity to be sin to us. You know, we had somebody in here the other day that shared, I have drank for I don't know how many years. Years and years, she said. And she said, God, help me quit. Because she said, I didn't want to do it anymore. You know, and I've taught you before, and I've told you, listen. And this is something I find totally amazing with the church, because it only happened since the 1950s, that tobacco products even became faux pas in the church. I haven't found anything in the Bible that says if you smoke or chew that you're going to hell. But you know what I'm going to say now, don't you? Just makes you smell like you've been there. But it doesn't send you to hell. It does not cost you your salvation, but it is not good for you. We know that. We need to focus more on the things that will send us to hell, like not loving our neighbors, not loving those that are around us, not loving our children. And so the Apostle Paul goes on and he starts beginning to explain some things. Let me get back over here, my Bible turned. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, are we not? We are Spirit-filled. That means we are led by the Spirit. God says, I want you to go to Cardington. And I want you go stand in front of the car wash. Now, here's what the religious person says. Okay, God's going to send me to Cardington, and I'm going to stand at the car wash. What's around the car wash? The bar across the street. He's going to have me prophesy against the bar across the street. No, maybe God wants you to be at the car wash because at that exact moment, you're going to be standing there, a mother of three, who has no idea how she's going to feed her kids, is going to walk by. See, we think we're called for destruction. We do not know the spirit we are of. I'm totally dead set against this kind of garbage that is coming out of a lot of big teachers today. You go up there and you stand against that. You're the watchman on the tower. No, I'm not. I'm the person down in the field. I'll tell you one thing that I hated having to do in the Marine Corps. Guard duty. Has it gotten any better? Okay. Yeah, it still stinks, doesn't it? Yeah, tradition. You just walk and walk, or you stand for hours. You're not the one going out there and making stuff happen. You're the one standing here making people don't get in. Are we supposed to be not making sure people don't get in? We're supposed to be out there bringing them in. But we're the watchmen on the tower. Listen, if we're led by the Spirit, we won't be led astray by a bunch of garbage. I heard a person the other day, and in their defense, they were baby Christians. And they had said, when we first got saved, a missionary came to the church and told us that if we held our children on our laps, we were susceptible to molesting them. I thought, dear God, I want to find that person. Because they told my mom. I said, you piece of crap. not her, the religious person that told that. That's not scripture. It's, we're not mind, listen, we're not psychologists. Okay, let's quit thinking we're going to break into somebody's mind and we're going to fix them. You can't fix me. You don't know how I'm put together. We're all put together a little different. We're all different because of what we've gone through. What you think might fix me is going to break me even more. So let's stop the psycho babble and start loving people. Get rid of our tradition, our pomp and circumstance. I always had to laugh anytime we had a general coming through. Here comes the dog and pony show. We ain't going to get nothing done today because we're waiting for, usually it was the commandant. We're waiting for General Gray to come through. We didn't do a thing. That wasn't our mission in life. Oh, I enjoyed hearing the man talk and meeting him. But I've got a job to do. Today, we're more worried about bringing in such big name prophets so that they can speak into our lives. Listen, you got the same Holy Spirit that that guy's got. Why don't you ask God? Because let's understand the role of the prophet was not good. I don't want to be a prophet. There was a reason they weren't accepted in their own hometowns. Because they brought bad news. They brought correction. And to be honest with you, if more prophets would actually focus on what they were supposed to do as opposed to standing up here showing you 3 points of connection in your life with somebody else in here and how God confirmed that, I would just assume God walks up to me and says, God says this. Boom. I don't need to know that you know the address. One word out of the address over here and the house number of this person over here and then bring it into me. That's a parlor trick. Because I, to be honest with you, even without pretending to be a prophet, I could do it right now. I could connect you and bring it down to Miss Gloria. And show you a connection you have with Gloria. And that confirmed that what I was about to say was of the Spirit. As opposed to God saying, oh yeah. Because now somebody, now you, Angela does tell me some things that happens with the, in the women's meeting. And I love hearing this stuff. But so many of you have told her, said, Pastor was preaching right at me. He knew, he had to have known. I promise you, I don't. I promise you, God's not telling me things about you. I open my mouth and he puts the words in. That's just the way I choose to fly. Because it weirds people out. I'll be honest with you. But if you know that it's the Holy Spirit confirming something for you, then that helps you. All right, so let's go to verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. We'll stop right there for a moment. Take a breath. These are the works of the flesh. These are the things that we do. These are what happens when we let the flesh control. Okay? You know, we got several full-on sexual sins in here. Adultery and fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. We're not called to be lewd. We're not called to... And by the way, the uncleanness there they're talking about is not, I had to work just before I came and I ain't had a chance to go home. I'd rather if you want to be here, you go ahead and show up. I don't care. Because I need you to understand something. Back in that day, they didn't take a shower every night anyhow. They came in, they smelled like sheep. And I think sheep smells worse than anything on the planet, personally. I'd rather go stand next to hogs. And well, horses stink pretty good too. And he's not joking. I was walking, I came out hunting last night, walked out on the road, and I had to walk a half a mile to get to the road. And I'm walking down the road. I can't see hardly anything. And like, what is that smell? And I walked up a little further, and there's a road apple. Obviously, somebody just took their horse down through there. So, they stink. He's right. But we're talking adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Folks, the church is so wrapped up in idolatry, it doesn't see it. We worship people. Now, I believe in giving honor to whom honor is due. But for the love of God, please don't expect me to bow down and kiss your ring. Polish your shoes. My own wife doesn't iron my shirts. I do that. It's a habit. It's something that I did. It's now a habit to me. I do prefer just taking them to the thing, but she'll do that for me. She'll drop them off at the cleaners, but I'm cheap. Sorcery. Okay. Now, here's the hilarious part, you know, and I found how I had gotten religious, I mean, just so overzealous on things that I'm like pulling everything out. No, because I was deprived. Anytime they mentioned the word witch or magic, boom, it automatically came out of my life. Period. Do you know how they explain the works of God? Magic. It's just a word. I mean, something that I cannot explain how it happened. But yet, but there are the black magics. There are people who deal in witchcraft. Hatred, oh boy. You know, many people today think, well, you know, I can control my hate. I taught you a couple years ago, you cannot control hate. Hate will control you. I know a young lady when I would have been about 10 or 11, so she was about 3 years older, so she's about 14. One night, my parents got a call. Hey, listen, we need somebody who knows something about demons. This girl is, something ain't right. It was full on out of The Exorcist. And so my parents showed up, and our pastor at the time, they all showed up there, you know, and there were two large guys trying to control this 13, 14-year-old girl, and she was throwing them around like they were rag dolls. Her face had changed. She had turned a pale green and was not speaking in her normal voice. So for those of you that think that demons are fake, they're real, but you don't have a demon in your cold. Okay? There's not a demon behind everything. But anyhow, so here's the thing, you know, well, here's what really hurt them. The first people they called was people from their church who knew absolutely nothing about it, but they understood magic and witchcraft and their tradition. And their tradition said, you bring in maple leaves and holy water and this is how you cast it out. They just practice witchcraft. The demon is not going to leave. It's only by the name of Jesus, period. And so they began talking with this thing. And somebody said, when did you get into her? In church. She went to a little church here in Edison years and years and years ago. And she sat in the back, and there was a girl who went to the church too. And they both liked the same boy, but he asked her out. She sat in the back, hating that other girl. Demon said, that's when I slipped in. And he said, by the way, I ain't going anywhere. Bye. To this day, she still got it. It hasn't manifested like that I'm aware of. They were unable to do it. Because they chose, instead of faith, let's deal with it with witchcraft. So hatred. Hatred opens up so much more than you can control. Contentions. Holy moly, the church is full of contentions these days. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I think we all should just get back to living in the Bible, mind our own stinking business, and love God and love people. And actually, not in that order. You got to love people in order to love God. I don't care if we have the biggest church. I don't care if we have our own little softball league or what, our own motorcycle group. Don't care about any of this. It's all trappings, period. It's things to keep. Does anybody need something else to keep busy with? Anybody? Come on, there's got to be one person who needs one more thing in their life to do. No, there's not a one of us. We've got plenty to do. We don't need all the things that don't mean anything. I'm not talking about we get together from time to time for fellowship. That's great. I love the picnic. I wish we could have a picnic every week. I get to wear shorts. Because in the summertime, I don't wear long pants very often. I'm one of those guys. Jealousies. Do we really need to get going on the jealousies in the church? By the way, he's still talking about things that are manifesting in the church. This is written to the church at Galatia. Outbursts of wrath. I've actually seen a few of those. Selfish ambitions. Now, this one is interesting because it slides in under the guise of I'm doing this to help others. When it boils down to it and you start finding out, it had nothing to do with helping others. If you really want to help people, here's what I've learned. Most people that really want to help people don't want recognition for it. Now, we'll probably recognize you for it here, but not because you asked me for it. Or you got mad. If you get mad because I didn't, please go back here and examine why you're doing it. Okay? Dissensions, heresies. Heresies are false teachings to control people. Envy. We hadn't gotten, okay, now we're here. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. To inherit something means you're a son or a child. You will not inherit the kingdom of God and all that God has offered for you if you practice this garbage. The envy and the murders. How about, you know, and we listen, that's murder starts from hatred. Contentions. Let me get down here. Drunkenness and revelries. Always just to tell yourself, listen, I'm not your Holy Spirit. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I know I can't touch alcohol. But ask yourself, what happens when I get drunk? What happens? There's one of two things that happens to people, and this has been my experience. You become lovers or you become fighters. And if you're a lover, eventually you're going to end up in a fight. Doesn't matter. One of those two things will happen when you become drunk. Revelries. Here was an interesting thing I learned actually about Halloween in this country. In about the 1920s is when it really changed. And the reason it had to change, now I grew up over around Chesterville. I don't know if Johnsville really didn't do it as much and some of the other towns. But to be honest with you, I always kind of looked forward to going to school or church after Halloween had happened, drive through Chesterville and see what they did to the town. See where they put the outhouse or the Amish buggy. And I found a picture from back probably in the late 30s. And I don't know how many years they've been putting them Amish buggies on top of the barber shop, but there was an Amish buggy in that picture that long ago. But they would trash the town if you hadn't been through there. Outhouses, grain equipment that was just sitting around, corn and signs, pumpkins, everything. That's revelry. The reason that we have the organized Halloween we have today is because people were tired of it. It was usually teenage boys, okay? It wasn't the little children that we have now relegated Halloween down to, it was teenage boys, and the people started saying, tell you what, if I give you a treat, will you leave my stuff alone? So the boys started coming up that night, knock, knock, trick or treat. You either give me the treat, or you're going to find your outhouse turned over. And that can be a problem, because that seat's attached. So God, or not God, but so the people began reorganizing and said, this is what we're going to do. They basically would riot. What do you think happened in Missouri? Baltimore. We're letting this garbage run free. And most of it, in my opinion, is not because the church thinks, well, I need to stay out of certain things. Some of it you do, but then there's a point you do need to say something, a point you do need to get up and say, no, it's done. We're done playing this game. But the problem is the church is so full of the other ones that we can't organize and say, we're going to do this right. Because I'll tell you what will happen. You'll have people wanting to go in to kill. Which has never been a call of the church. So all of those things are works of the flesh. They do not require you do anything. They require absolutely no discipline. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It takes discipline to love somebody. I don't care who it is. Your spouse. Sometimes, ladies, I know you want to take that frying pan and place it up the side of our head. We know this. Sometimes that's why we keep pushing that button. We're hoping we can run fast enough. It's love, joy. Where's the joy in the church? Church isn't about joy, it's about rules and regulations. And I got to tell you, there's no joy in that. I get excited to see you guys. I don't care what kind of week I had. When I see you guys, I'm excited. There's a joy that fills me. There's a joy. I don't have to have people around me every day to have joy. I don't have to listen to Jimmy Evans every day or Joseph Prince every day. I don't need that. My joy is in my salvation, not in somebody else. I shared with a friend, I got to tell you this. The other day I went out with a friend, an old friend who knows his life isn't right with God, and he brought it up. I said, God, I'm not going to, I said, I know you want me to talk to him, but you got to bring this up. We started talking. He says, I know. He says, I wanted to come to church the other day, and then I went outside, looked down the road, and cars were coming out of the driveway. He's like, well, crap, I missed church. And I said, you're going to have to do it sometime. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, God's already told me to talk to you. And God said, you're coming. But God had already showed me things about his past that he sat there and confessed for the first time ever to me. God had already told me why he was the way he was, why he does the things he does. And he sat there and admitted them to me, not knowing I already knew. And I began explaining to him, though. I said, listen, you need to understand something. I said, I did. I rebelled. I went full on. I became an alcoholic. I knew what alcoholism does to families, and particularly mine. I mean, I've got too many people that are either missing body parts because of car accidents, or they're just flat out dead now. My own grandfather's heart exploded, and he was only 55 because of alcohol. But I said, when I finally broke down, I said, God, I don't want to know you. I don't want anything to be based upon my wife, upon a preacher, upon anybody. I want to know you. Now, does that mean that every day that I've had joy in my life? No. There's day I felt like running. I felt like quitting. I felt like just saying, you know what, maybe Alaska, I could live with it. I could deal with it. Maybe go to the desert in the winter. And I finally realized it's drawing nearer to God and getting closer to Him. The joy is there. Sometimes all you got to do is just sit still. We're so busy, sometimes we forget to sit still. Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got, you know, preachers, some of them are the worst ones. They got to be doing all the time. They got to be going. They got to be going here. They got to be. Listen, I'm called as a pastor. That means a shepherd. It means I'm given a flock. That means I'm responsible for the flock. I'm not a hireling. I didn't do this as a job, trust me. I didn't want it. But this is my job. It's what I do. It's who I am now. That was a hard thing for me to deal with for a long time, was putting the word pastor in front of my name. I always had Art Waddell, comma, pastor. Well, something changed. I now know who I am. I'm Pastor Art. I got people that don't even go to church here call me Pastor Art out in town. It's funny. And so our joy comes not because we're around people. I get refueled in my joy. But my joy is not based on you. It's not based on her. It's based on me and God. Peace. This is a time we need peace. Not the kind of peace the world takes away. We think, oh, if everything is going all right, we'll be okay. Nothing will ever be all right. Never has been. There will always be garbage like this happening. And here's something, Angela, and I said something just before she heard it on the radio or the TV the other night. They're interviewing a Frenchman. And they said, what was the question? Why do you think these attacks haven't happened in the United States? Is that the question? Yeah, you brought it up, I thought. Or maybe Joshua did. Did you, Joshua? Well, somebody did there at the table. And anyhow, let me make sure I wasn't dreaming. I was awake at your house for dinner, wasn't I? I remember eating the steak. It was good. But anyhow, he replied, "You Americans fight fire with fire." In other words, they know better. There are no rules of engagement. We don't have a bunch of people sitting in an office somewhere saying, "They're shooting you and killing you, but you can't engage." Oh, that would frustrate me to no end. I wouldn't have lasted much longer, I can promise you, because I'd have said, forget this. Long-suffering. Oh, but anyhow, going back to peace. The peace that Jesus leaves us is in the fact that we're in turmoil in this world, but yet we are not worried about it. I'm not worried for my family. I'm not worried for you. Because my Bible says the God of peace will soon crush Satan. Long-suffering. This is patience, folks. Long-suffering. It means sometimes you got to go really, really long. Sometimes longer than others. Kindness. Kindness goes above and beyond. Kindness is when they don't deserve it. Goodness. Doing the right thing because it's right. We should never have to be told to help that elderly woman through that door. We shouldn't have to be told to hold that door open for that person who's got their arms full. Faithfulness. That means we're not, okay, I am. Oh, no, not today. Oh, okay, I am. Oh, okay, not today. Faithfulness is, I'm on all the time. Doesn't matter what comes. Doesn't matter how I'm feeling. See, there's the problem. As human beings, we live with our feelings. Well, I just don't feel that way today. Well, you know, go back to bed, roll out on the other side, maybe you'll feel right. Well, you know, I didn't have my coffee. Here's some coffee beans. Chew them up. Get on with your life. Come on, let's get going. Steady. We got to be the middle of the road people. We can't be those that keep going from ditch line to ditch line. And that's what we do. Gentleness. As wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. Meek and gentle. By the way, being meek does not mean being weak. Meekness is the ability and the right to rip somebody's head off and you don't do it. Because that comes through long suffering. Self-control. This is one thing that I know we're all working on. We're not just talking about the self-control at the dessert bar at Golden Corral. We're talking about the self-control in dealing with people, especially those around us who are close. I'll be the first one to tell you, I've blown it way too many times. And I'm trying to change. Well, you know, just pray, brother. We'll just lay hands on you and you'll be instantly changed. You do understand it doesn't work that way. The Bible says for each one of us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. That means, and I would honestly rather have something that I've worked for and something that I've that's got a solid foundation on as opposed to a house that was suddenly not here and now here it's here. It means the foundation was built upon while it was green. And if you don't know what that means, it means the concrete hadn't cured, nothing was right. We got all these houses, especially built up in the late 90s, early 2000s. People, boom, dig a hole. Next day, they've got a house by the end of the week. These TV shows, these reality shows on TV. We got a whole house to build in a week. I don't want that house in 30 years. The concrete never got a chance to cure before you put weight on it. I actually did a job for Farmer Boy one time. They poured the concrete on Saturday, maybe Sunday, inside the office. They poured the concrete. You could walk in, take your fingernail on Monday morning, and you could dig in the concrete. An hour later, we had walls built on them. Exactly how long do you think that's going to last in an environment of hog manure? It eats good concrete up pretty quick. But against such these things, there is no law. Brother, you can be as kind and gentle as you want. All day long, patient with people. I'm not reading into your life or anything. I'm just... There's no law against it. But losing your temper, stirring trouble, that goes against the law of God, which goes against love. And when I say stirring trouble, we're not talking about standing up for what's right. We're talking about we just start, you know, hey, you know, you hear about people on the other side of the aisle, you know, they're from Michigan, you know. We start rivalries. Who cares? And you know what? It's the saddest. You can have Toledo. We'll really give it to you. That's what it's what it started over. Michigan can have Toledo. Don't want, yeah. Michigan doesn't want it now either. And those who are in Christ, who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let none of us become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, folks, we should always be looking about how we're talking to other people, what we're saying. We should be thinking about what we're saying. That we're not provoking them. We can have joy But we should also be sensitive to say, can I pray for you? Do you need to talk about something? And then here's the other thing, folks. We need to open our mouth, because here's a big falsehood out of the 70s and the 80s. Just hold it in. Just let it, just keep all that in there. You know, you don't want to let that out. Do you know what happens? Anybody ever seen the pictures they've painted of Mount Vesuvius when it erupted? They're still digging out parts of Pompeii. We hold it, we hold it, we hold it. And you can only take so much pressure, and then you're going to crack. And here's the scary part. It's not the thing usually fueling the volcano that causes it to crack, but the person and that thing that was the last straw is what you blow up on. And they're standing there, what'd I say? What did I do? Against such there is no law. Folks, we need to be, as believers, we need to be free from thinking, well, I've got to love my brother and my sister because the Bible says I got to, no matter what I think of them. I don't care what I think of them. I love them. Period. And it doesn't matter what you think of me. Yep, you got to still love me. Just love me. Now here's... We have also got to love ourselves. Nowhere in the Bible have I found where it talks about that we just become doormats for people or punching bags for people. That's not love for yourself. Paul said, do not love yourself more than you ought. And I'm going to tell you something. You will not love people beyond what you love yourself. I'm not talking about arrogance. Different issue. True love for yourself says, well, wait a minute. I'm going to think about why I'm not doing this. See, I deprive myself of things that the Bible may or may not give a rip about. Not because the Bible mentions them or doesn't mention them, but because that's my son. Sons. I got two of them in here today. They are an extension of me. I love them. I love me. See, so many people are caught up on the fact that, well, you know, well, they're totally different. No, they are me. Why do you think Abraham was so excited to see even Ishmael? It was a part of him. And then Isaac came along, and he was super excited. Here's the promise of God made manifest. That is a part of me, and I need to embrace it. I'm going to talk about next week about some things, maybe. I'm going to emphasize that maybe. God might change my mind. Along the lines of some of the things I just shared with you earlier. Like I said, I told you that my mom shared that with me the other day, that somebody had told her that when they were first saved. It was a missionary that came through the church. Like I said, and at this point, you need to understand, I was 8 years old. And I was the oldest. Okay, about 9, 10, you stop, maybe boys, maybe stop kissing your dad if you ever did. And well, you know, there was none of that. No affection, because some jackwagon perverted the scripture. Because they were a pervert. Are you following me? They had a problem. And what happens, and I'm sitting here, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to hit some things next week. All of you are going to be like, I don't know if I want to go there anymore. But I'm going to open some things up. We may have to have just a big old prayer service when it's all said and done, because there's so many people, because of garbage like that. Well, you know, I realize, you know, my mom said, you know, your grandparents never told your dad they loved him. And I learned a few other things. But when it's all said and done, we're still responsible for us. Is there anybody in here dead? You don't have a pulse. All right. You can change. We are not leopards. We can change. We can change it. We are new creatures in Christ. Doesn't matter our age, we can change it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the more I change, the more joy I find. The more peace I find. Listen, this is an uncertain world we're in. You know, when I came of age, we were the number one country in the world. Powerhouse. We were producing this, producing that. Now we're on welfare to China. A country we considered a third world country at the time. Our enemy, who we defeated in a Cold War, has risen back up in more power than they ever had. And has absolutely nothing to lose. So, like I said, I'm going to talk about some of that stuff next week. Like it can kind of go in with this, but I just feel and believe that there's so many people needing to be freed from the chains. You, and I'm going to tell you, they said, you know, we came to a service. Broke the family. Anybody ever been to one of them? Break those family curses on you. You know what? Did it break it? Not usually. Because it requires change. Prayer and blessing is one thing. It requires an actual movement. As James said, faith without works is dead. What we said is, okay, I don't ever have to deal with that. Hallelujah. I left it at the altar. What happened when you walked out the door? And it came back worse. It came back with a vengeance. Well, there's been times I'll be doing work at the house and something will hit me and I can feel it. I feel like the Hulk. I got a paint roller in my hand and it's starting to bow and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, God. Why am I even thinking of this? This is stupid. Because I feel the adrenaline building. And that's not a good thing. Well, you know, brother, you know, you need to just go more, spend more time in prayer. You know, maybe I do need to pray and fast more. I don't know. But I can promise you this, if I don't consciously make a decision and say, no more. And then every time it pops up, cast it down. That's what Paul said. Cast down every thought and imagination. Prayer will get you so far, a prayer line. But the Word of God is the only thing that really changes you. And that's getting it in and putting it into action. All right, let's stand. Is there anything else I needed? Oh, yes. Reminder, this is OCC Collection Week. If you've not signed up, you can see Vicky or somewhere she's got a list you can fill out, sign up on. But yes, yeah, she's got it with her. So go talk to her about doing it. You do not have to give up your whole day. If you've got a couple hours or an hour or something, you can stop by on your lunch break or something and help out. That would be great. It's actually fun, believe it or not. It's fun to do that. I mean, and if nothing's happening, you can sit there and you can play Old Maid or cards. I don't care. Just no gambling. You want to play euchre, play euchre. All the winnings go to the pastor, so just saying. It came upon, it always does. It always just comes like, wow, here it is. It's collection week. And it goes through next Monday, and then next Monday we'll load them all up in the big box, or they'll be loaded and load all them under a trailer and take them to Mansfield. And praise God. I think. Yes, ma'am.
We were told at the meeting we went to that ours will go to the processing center in Boone, North Carolina.
Okay.
Instead of any of the other ones. So just thought you might like that.
Cool. It's because ours are blessed. Cool. Okay. Good deal. Praise God. Yeah, that's kind of a neat thing to do. I've never actually paid to have it done, but what the new thing they're doing this year, we need to know where they go. Be kind of funny if some of ours went to Armansk, Ukraine. All right. Well, let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you and I praise you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord, and the changing that it can do if we will apply it. Father, help us all now to, first off, understand that you want relationship with us. You don't want servants. You don't want slaves. You said you called us friends. And you only left one stipulation. And that's we had to obey your commandments. And your commandments were to love others as we love ourselves and to love you, Father. So, Father, help us to move and walk in that. And, Father, I pray now that as we begin to change, you help us and help us to bite our tongue, learn to let go of things, learn to just walk off and not worry about our selfish pride. And, Father, I thank you for moving in our lives. I thank you for these people. Lord, I bless them. And this Operation Christmas Child this week, Father, we bless every worker that will be here, the people that come in and delivering these boxes so that these children can receive a gift and get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that you're moving on their behalves this week and blessing them as they go about their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.